Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a podcast exclusively for Bethany, where we choose to dig deeper into our Sunday messages and answer those and wrestle through those tough questions. Today I'm joined with Pastor David Baxley and Parker Robbie, and I am thrilled. We have just come out of a Passionately series, and that was wonderful. But now we're going to understand why we passionately follow Jesus, because we are going to be digging into God revealing Jesus as we study the book of John.
Yeah. So we were planning to actually hit the series starting in January. And over the last couple of weeks, as we've been developing the series, I've been so grateful that we're starting this in November. Because I think I did the math, it would have been like maybe 19 weeks or something that we had dedicated to the series then. And doing the outline of John, like, man, it was so hard to get it down to the 27 weeks that we have dedicated that. Now, if you're listening to the podcast and you're like, 27 weeks in one thing, what's incredible about this gospel, I think, is the way John broke it up. And it's broken up into, Josh and I were talking about this week, almost as if a several miniseries within this big narrative of the gospels. And as we get into John, in contrast to the other gospels, I think it's kind of cool to think about each gospel has a specific purpose. We can look at what God was doing, what he was trying to speak, and how he was trying to like tell us about who Jesus is, or what he's trying to tell us about the kingdom of God, or whatever it might be. John is so simple, I think, in its beauty, but complicated in its depth. And the simplicity is John just wants us to see Jesus. Like that's just his goal. So much is just see Jesus. And I think that's what I'm most excited about, because sometimes we get lost with all these, we miss Jesus in light of everything else sometimes.
Totally.
And to just say, hey, to think we're going to spend 27 weeks on so many different ways of seeing more of who Jesus is and what that should mean in the life of how we live for him every day. I'm just lit.
That's great.
Yeah, it's super exciting, because as we see who Jesus is, we are going to be passionate about who our God is. So it's awesome. I'm excited.
And
Parker's going to be doing some preaching with us too. So that's
excited to jump in too.
Yeah.
So we're beginning the series looking at, actually, though you think we're beginning chapter one, we're actually going to jump ahead and begin at least the first part of the message all the way in chapter 20, because we look at where John gives us this beautiful summary of why he wrote, right? He wrote the book, and he says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these and the ones that he wrote about, specifically the signs even that he wrote about, are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing this, that by believing you may have life in his name. I mean, I think one of my favorite verses from John is that Jesus has come to give us life and that we would have it in full abundance. And although that could be so twisted and manipulated, when I look back and I look at this, I'm just reminded already, just prepping over the last couple of weeks for the next couple of messages, seeing the depth of life that comes in who Jesus is. And I think there's two cool things that as a church, I would really, and maybe you can talk about this in grow groups a little bit, and I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Wade and I were talking about this, is that, and we hit this in the message, one of the beautiful things about the Christian faith is that we're not called to have blind faith.
I was hoping you'd go there.
Right? That's like good. This idea that we're not called. John wrote this with an emphasis to begin with the signs, because the signs were the proof. They were the evidence. They were the way God was saying, look, this is my son. Even, and we're going to hit this next week, but even John does that. We're just going to end it there so we don't keep, I don't go into next week's message. Already, I got multiple messages in my head. I'm already rolling there. But I think the idea that we've somehow bought into this false narrative that we have to have blind faith. I mean, have you guys come across that, where this tension of blind faith within the Christian world? Like, we just have to believe and just accept it, and it doesn't matter. There's no proof. There's no reason for that.
Yeah, I don't know if people say that if they would say that, but that's functionally how we behave sometimes.
Yeah,
I think that's functionally just where people live their lives, is just that we believe this, and we don't really talk about the details very often, and we don't
have to talk about the whys and the evidence.
It's not a place we go very often, but it is interesting that the early church decided, not that they were commissioning writers to do this, but so many people, at least four of them, gave direct accounts of what they saw or what they what they studied from other people. His story, like they wanted to know his story because his story actually seems to matter. And so they weren't going off of blind faith. Like Luke to Theophilus doesn't want him to have blind faith. And each one of these gospel writers doesn't wants their audience to believe, but not blindly. They want them to know the truth about who Jesus was and what he was about.
And I think so often people think faith is checking your intelligence at the door as opposed to knowing that we can believe there, you know, so that's good. So when we're in the book of John, just the beginning, and I know you're going to talk about this a lot, just God being the creator. That is something that I don't even know, not a lot of years ago, that are not God, Jesus being the creator. That was something that was really new to me. In my mind, I just assumed God the Father was the creator, not God the Son was the creator. So we were talking about that. Was that something that, do you remember when you came to that revelation?
Well, my brain has always wrestled with the, like, I mean, since as early as I can remember, like trying to understand the Trinity and like, and just asking all those hundreds of questions I'm sure I asked my parents. Wait, so Jesus is God? Does that mean he like, did he create it? I don't know if there was ever like a aha moment, but I've like been trying to, and I will continue to for this lifetime and who knows how much of eternity, just try and wrap my mind around what does it mean that Jesus is God? What does it mean that he is he is in the fellowship of the Trinity? Like, what does that mean? That's a tough, I don't know if there's an aha moment.
And yet at the same time, Tammy, like you say, you know, never considered that. And that's one of the questions kind of talk about is when have you considered that? Was this new? But this is like foundational to understand that Jesus is God, as John 1 says, was with God in the beginning, that what is the creator to which all things were created through. And by, like, this is
huge.
You're right. It's absolutely huge. And I read a survey recently, and I think it said, and Parker, I don't know if you saw this one, and so I want to make sure, but it was either 60, I think it was in the 70s, but 70% of evangelical Christians, hopefully it's lower than this, maybe it was in the
60s. It's always a big number.
But it was huge.
It's always a bigger number than it should be.
They believed Jesus was created to be the Messiah by God. Not that Jesus has always been
God
and is God. That, man, talk about a miss. And maybe it's partially a miss because for us often, maybe if you're a teacher or if you grew up in the church, it's so fundamental that maybe we forget to say it.
Yeah, we don't stress it enough.
We don't talk about this enough. And I think that's what makes the simplicity of John so big. Like if someone was to say, well, Jesus is God, isn't that so important? I'm like, yeah, but like that's like 101. But at the same time, it's essential. And that survey blew me away. How many people did not understand? And it wasn't that they didn't love Jesus. They didn't want to believe this. It's not that they were rejecting a teaching. It was that they just, no one had told them to a point where they understood this reality of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And why that's so important.
What's amazing to me is in the Gospel of John, we have, John is, so my wife's a wedding photographer, and she often is jumping between different lenses that she's using, and she'll have her faraway lens, and she'll have her macro lens, and like right up there for like the details of the diamond of the ring and all those things. And we see a beautiful mixture of both, of two different lenses that John's going to use. He's going to use like zoom out and say, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God, like before creation, like that type of huge wide lens. But it's also Jesus's best friend and the person who knew Jesus the best on earth. And John is going to take pictures of Jesus from the far out. Like he was in the beginning creating the universe. And at the same time, he's his best friend, who he walked with, who he learned from, who he ate with, who he walked on the road with and was in the boat with and all these things. And John is going to say that these two people are the same.
The same person.
That's crazy. That like this person that I know so well, I watched him walk on water. I watched him feed these people. He is the creator at the beginning. Like, that's a... How did John even get those thoughts in his head? That's crazy.
Well, and I was reflecting on that too, because as we go through the message, you know, those first two points we're going to speak on, first that Jesus is God. And just to put a pin in that, hit a moment right here, or maybe I'll just hit it now. Like this is fundamental, because if you look at, there's so many faiths out there or beliefs that tend to either masquerade as Christianity, mm-hmm. Sound like Christianity, because they're going to quote the Bible and they're going to talk about Jesus and they're even going to quote the teachings of Jesus, or even more, even that aren't claiming to be Christianity, but they're even claiming we have the same God, mm-hmm. That will sometimes do that. But the thing that they do in all of those, they deny that Jesus is God.
You hear he was a good man.
A great
prophet.
He
was
prophet.
A prophet, a good teacher. But yeah.
And if Jesus is not God, the crucifixion has no value.
Right.
Yeah, so many other faiths use Jesus, and Judaism all have their opinions about Jesus, and Mormonism and all these people. But as soon as you say Jesus is God, like, you're using Christian words there. Nobody else agrees with that.
Well, and we see that at the end of John 2 is that that was the ultimate thing that the Pharisees said, kill him. Mm-hmm. When he says, I am,
yep. mm-hmm.
and he declares himself as God in front of all of them,
yep.
Equal with God and all of that, which is where John starts, because that mm-hmm. is so, because already in John's time, so close to Jesus, this was being challenged.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to recognize, and this is probably worth talking about even in grow groups a little bit, where did we see the idea of Jesus being God challenged in our own culture?
That's good.
Like, we may know that Jesus is good. Mm-hmm. We may believe his teachings are good, because this is what I think is important. And we were hitting this a little earlier. It's not just enough to say Jesus is God and have this belief system of who he is, mm-hmm. but where he has to be God in the sense of he is God of my life. Mm-hmm. I think when John is taking us to this text, I don't think he's just trying to say the person of who Jesus is, though that's foundational. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's more than that. I think it's understanding or the challenge of saying, and how do you live as if Jesus is God of your life? Mm-hmm. Because his teachings and all these things are great, but they're just good teachings until mm-hmm. you realize God came. And as he was walking the earth, said these things. Did these things.
Because if you think of him just as a man, I can read several different books by both men and women, and that can affect my life or not affect my life. But if he's God, that changes everything. Like, I need to listen to what he's saying. I don't get to pick and choose.
Well, and that's where the book of John ends. It starts with Jesus being the Word and being God and creating. And it ends with a story of Peter and John,
yes.
and a conversation between Jesus and Peter, and John's nearby, and the conversation with Peter about, hey, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. If you're going to follow me, well, I get to say in your life, that's what Jesus says to Peter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to be my follower, if you're going to be my disciple, I get to say what you mm-hmm. do. I get to have complete say in how you spend your life. Don't spend your life here back in Galilee fishing. Mm-hmm. Go feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Like, there's a, well, the beginning and the end.
Well, I think what you're hitting to is something that we'll talk about in the message a little bit at the beginning, but I would love for and there's a question in our going deeper section, but in the grow group questions that hit this is, we said at the very beginning of the message, I just want to make sure I say it right, is kind of the key questions as we look at all these ways that God has begun to reveal Jesus to us as the Word, as the Creator, as the life, as the light, as even mm-hmm. as the Savior of the world, all of these things. Mm-hmm. So do I live like this is true? John in chapter 20, when he says why he wrote the book, he said, well, I wrote it that you would see these signs mm-hmm. so that you may believe mm-hmm. that Jesus really is who he is. But this idea of belief, and I love, man, you want to read some good stuff on John Piper, some great stuff on how he does belief and faith in the book of John. And I just love that stuff, man. I hope mm-hmm. we can get to that at some point later on in the series. But this belief is not, I believe it to be true. This is, because I believe it to be true, thus my life now looks different and uh-huh. reflects that. And that's what he was doing with Peter at the end. You really believe this, Peter, and go do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is really what you really say you love me, then go do this. And I think that's if there's one piece that come out of John, I think it's really easy to go in these first 18 verses of John, mm-hmm. especially if you grew up in the church, if you've read through this before, you've studied before, be like, yeah, check, I believe that. Yeah, check, I believe that. Yeah, yep, I believe all those things. Fantastic, amen. I'm so glad someone reminded us of these great things about who Jesus is. But so what?
And your life doesn't look any different than it did.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. so if we believe he's these things, you know, come back to even the God thing. What does it mean that God has absolute authority over my life? And come back to the Creator one too, which we were going to talk about and mm-hmm. and build on those. I think one of the beautiful things that John, I think, understood, and we'll see this echoed as seen as that you taught that the big, the macro uh-huh. versus the micro viewpoint that John yeah. had, is he recognized that Jesus was his creator. Wasn't just the creator. Mm-hmm. When we see Jesus as my creator, mm-hmm. he formed me. Mm-hmm. He knit me together in my mother's womb. Like, I am fearfully and made by Jesus with a specific calling and purpose by his design, mm-hmm. by his purpose. I think that changes how I see this mm-hmm. dynamic of who Jesus is. When I begin to see, like, he is God and creator, and as creator, he said, this is what you were formed for. Mm-hmm. I either choose to absolutely say, I don't care, you're the creator, and I'm going to do my own thing, or say, I want to live as your creation, mm-hmm. under the creator's lordship, under the creator's blessing, under his beauty that he, like, he divinely knit me together for.
Yeah.
Instead of my own plans to which I wish I was knit together for. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, think about how insane of a disciple you would have had to have been to be in John's shoes and to walk with Jesus and to know that he's your creator, to know that you're walking, like, you're walking beside a mm-hmm. person who made everything and you. What thoughts would be going through your brain every time you open your mouth to that person? That would be crazy. But mm-hmm. imagine being John and being like buddy-buddy with Jesus, or Peter being buddy-buddy with him and like walking with your creator. And then he tells you to feed my sheep, or to go preach, or to love others. And you're like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to still be buddy-buddy with you. Like, think of how like, how disconnected that would have been.
How contradicting it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, I mean, yeah. what you'd be, they'd have been insane. Like, how mm-hmm. do you do that? Like, you're walking with the creator and he requests obedience of you, and mm-hmm. you pretend you're buddy buddy with him, and then you don't do it. That just wouldn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, he's God of our, not only God, but he's God of our lives. He gets to tell us how to live, mm-hmm. how we should be spending our time, everything. Like, everything goes back to his words and his direction. Mm-hmm. So I see what you're saying there. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. So I'm looking at these other questions.
Let's say Jamie wants to keep going. I'm like feeling like I
know. We could just keep doing this. We could keep doing this.
Well, again, as we keep going, just want to keep going back to the grow groups that are watching this and the grow group leaders watching mm-hmm. this, to keep coming back and asking these application questions. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be that there's a lot in here that we're not going to be able to hit. You know, yep. I talk about at the beginning of the message. And so someone might really highlight something they feel like was missed. That's okay. If they highlight something that's missed, mm-hmm. still come back to the same question. Mm-hmm. So do you live like you believe that? Mm-hmm. And what does living like you believe that really look mm-hmm. like? So if I, again, we did that with the creator, mm-hmm. then yep. I see him, and I see myself as designed by him with his purpose in mind. My own desires don't matter mm-hmm. because of his purpose. Mm-hmm. And I want to delight myself in God so much that the desires of his, of that he has for me become the desires of my heart. And we yep. see that echoed in scripture. But when I'm battling with that, to keep seeing him as a creator, boy, that just changes how I even mm-hmm. choose to seek God's will and direction mm-hmm. in my life, I think. So mm-hmm. anyways, that's just an example. Keep going, Tammy. Take us mm-hmm. where you want to go next.
Well, I'm not even sure I want to go next. But I just think it's so, the danger is just studying and getting head knowledge. And if it doesn't change our lives, that's a huge, huge problem. And so these application questions are so, so good. If I see God as my creator, that should affect what I do next. So another thing we were talking about, I'm trying to look at these questions and decide what to do. There's so many good things to talk about.
The other big piece that, at least for me, was heavy in this text. And when we first came to John and I was praying, and I was like, all right, God, you know, it's not just enough to say, we know what these truths are, but God, what is it, because these truths you want to tell us at Bethany? Mm-hmm. What is it that you want us to see? What is it that you may be calling us to? And the section in verses 4 and 5 really jumped out to me.
Yes.
In him was life, mm-hmm. and that life was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Now, my translation that I was using, CSB, says overcome, but other translations, I don't know what translation you have in front of
you. ESV.
And what is that?
Overcome. Yep.
It does say overcome.
Yep.
And I think when I was a kid, one of the translations I ran into does not comprehend or understand. But the darkness has not understood it.
Yep.
I think that was the NASB.
Comprehend. I've heard that before.
Yeah, comprehend. I think that was the NASB, if I remember correctly, which was, I memorized this as a kid. I think it was NASB was the mm-hmm. first time I memorized these first 5 or 6 verses, or however many it was that I first did. But the thing is because if you look at this original Greek word, there is a ton of depth to this word. It has a lot of meaning. And so you can get comprehend, apprehend, grasp, master, extinguish, or overcome. And the reason, and I just want to share this here, is I think overcome is absolutely the best word.
You like that one the best.
And here's why. Because the picture that he's given us before he says it, the light shines into darkness. Mm-hmm. But the darkness cannot understand it. It's not bad. Right. It's not complete because there's a battle here. This is the battle of light and darkness. Mm-hmm. This is the picture of this war that we're in the middle of raging. And the thing is, it's not that I have to overcome it. Mm-hmm. It's that in me, there is a light and a life. And then that light is meant to be in me to penetrate the darkness. Mm. But this is the application too. Before it can penetrate the darkness out there, I have to be fully surrendered to let it penetrate the darkness in here. Mm-hmm. Because before Jesus, I'm a part of the darkness. Mm-hmm. In me is darkness, is evil, it desires, it's selfish, it's rebellious, it's my way, not God's way. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at recognizing the light penetrates darkness and darkness can't overcome it, that should be one of the most hopeful verses mm-hmm. that I could find in here, because if I see God as creator and I see him as God, and yet I say, I want to live with him in that way and I want to live for him, but I just can't seem to figure it out. I feel hope, and I've heard that from Christians. I can't seem to master this. This seems to have mastery over me. And yet he says, no, see, the light, who Jesus is and his power, he penetrates darkness and darkness can never overcome it. When you feel like you maybe can't find that victory, he says he will overcome it. He says that the power to overcome it is in him, not in me.
Yeah. And then think about the battle, I guess you could say, between light and darkness. It seems as though there's a lot of light in the world, just physically, and there's a lot of darkness. But light doesn't have a hard time. When there's light, light wins. Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
You can't turn on enough darkness.
Right. Yeah,
like, you don't turn on darkness.
It's not actually a battle.
Yeah.
Like, darkness isn't like pushing back against actual light. Yeah. When there's light, light wins.
Yes.
Right? And like Jesus, like when Jesus invades a person's soul, it doesn't happen overnight. But like when Jesus is in our lives, right. like light wins.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Eventually light wins.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it's not actually a battle. It's using battle language, but darkness never overcomes light.
But it feels like a battle because we're in that battle. And it's almost like the Bible says we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness in this dark world.
Yep.
You know, like this image of evil. We're in the middle of this contention, but the victory, and this is what I see in this, is I'm just reminded of Philippians at the end. What is it? Every knee will bow that he is Lord, that he is God, that he is creator, regardless of whether they acknowledge it. But those of us who acknowledge it now, we get life. Mm-hmm. And that light begins to overcome now the darkness.
Mm-hmm. So
we do experience it.
Crazy Tammy analogy, but as you two are talking and my brain is trying to keep up with the two of you, I am thinking of a dimmer switch. And so when we are in our homes and you press the dimmer switch and the light is on, we have that in Christ. But as we walk with God, as we're doing the process of sanctification, as we are surrendering to him and wanting to push away the darkness, is that like the dimmer switch going up and we see more and more light in our lives, in our brothers and sisters' lives, as light is winning that way? Is that a crazy analogy or does that work for you?
Well, it's never that. I mostly agree with the analogy. It's never that if there...
I like the analogy.
You like the analogy?
If there's, if there's darkness in us, it's never the light's fault. It's never the fact that darkness is overcoming it. And so if there is dimness in our soul, if there is darkness in our soul, it's not the light's fault. It's our application. It's our holding on to the light.
You said it perfectly. The more we surrender to Jesus, that dimmer switch goes up more.
Right.
And I think that's the key picture, I would say, is when we feel like, oh man, the darkness doesn't seem to be being overcome by the light. I think we have to come back to ourselves and ask, where am I feeding the darkness in my own life? Mm-hmm. Where, and that's because there's two things, I'll hit this in the message too, this idea that we have to be very, very careful of how much we accept elements of darkness for the sake of thinking it's a worthwhile compromise. Mm-hmm. I think that is something that I see within the Christian world right now that just kind of permeates a lot of our discussion, is how much darkness should I compromise for the sake of trying to tell someone more about the light? How much darkness is it okay? And you guys have heard me say this before, but the most dangerous phrase I think in the Christian life is it's not that bad. Huh. Mm-hmm. Because what we're saying is it's not that dark. Mm-hmm. There's still enough light. You know, like it's if like in this room right now, we got like a bunch of lights aimed at us right now. Mm-hmm. And if I went up and said, well, you know what? If I just unscrew two of those light bulbs, I mean, there's still light. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. Like there's still some light. So I can kind of compromise a little bit here.
Yeah.
I can compromise a little bit there. And instead of saying like, the reason the darkness is still there, cause I kind of like the darkness a little bit. Mm-hmm. In me, there's still this war of my flesh and the new life that I have in Christ. The new David versus the old David is still at war, and how I choose to take in, to embrace the darkness in my life. And I think if there was an application in all of this, as we see who God is, as we see he's the creator, as we see that he is light and life, I think we may ask the question, am I really experiencing the life that he's made for me? And if not, where am I allowing the darkness to not be overcome by the light? Because I think you've said that light always wins. But there's a point where I might put my, what happens if I put my hand in front of the light? The darkness.
Or if you just don't go near the light.
Or just don't go near the
light.
Keep
yourself in the darkness.
Do you think part of the reason we don't want to go there, that we don't want to surrender, if surrender is key in this, is because we really still think that we're okay? And Andy and I just painted a hallway and we took some wallpaper down. And so we tried to, I know it was not good.
You don't want wallpaper?
No.
what about this fairly kind of across
and,
the top?
And so it left a mark. And so we tried to mud it and tape it, but it's never perfect. And we have a new light in our hallway that's really bright. I want a dimmer switch so I can turn that baby down so that you don't see
that's
the
such
ugliness.
A good picture.
You don't see the ugliness
you
of
like
the
wall. Analogy?
Maybe.
That's fair.
Okay, that's fair. And so is part of the reason we don't want the light is because we really don't think we're that bad, or we don't want to see how ugly our sin really is.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we probably think we're better shepherds than we are. Like we're our own shepherds.
Right.
And so we kind of get to call the shots on what's acceptable in my life and not. But if John is walking with God, if he's walking, like literally God is with him, in the flesh, walking Jesus Christ, like John doesn't get to be his own shepherd. Like the shepherd gets to call out how John lives his life, how Peter lives his life. And I think we think we're our own shepherds.
So here's a question for you guys. Did John fully understand that Jesus was his creator and that Jesus was his God until after Jesus died and rose from the dead? When he was walking with them does that make sense? Like, did he even know that? Did he even have the thoughts? I mean, I don't know.
Well, it seems as though the disciples, like John, had plenty of opportunities to
see the miracles. To see,
I mean, how many times does Jesus say, "Oh, you guys just don't get it"?
Like, yeah, that's I was going to go to that there.
Right.
He had plenty of opportunities, and Jesus says, "Oh, you guys just don't get it."
At one point, I read through that sometimes. I'm like, I just imagine Jesus is like, I love you guys, but seriously.
Like right Jesus now. Will tell them, Jesus, there's a point where Jesus tells them, I'm going to die, and after 3 days, I'm going to resurrect. And the disciples are like, what do you think he means by that?
Right.
He's like, no.
I'm going to die.
And in three days, I'm going to come back. I'm not sure about this. Like, you know, like what's wrong? Like the disciples, they didn't totally. So I'm not sure that John totally got it. John understood that he's divine, but I don't know if John understood the whole. I don't know. Does he understand everything?
But,
probably not.
But I think that's where it's one of the things I like at the end of this, when we get to the last verses 14 through 18, and he comes and I mentioned the message that verse 12, I think is the one of the saddest verses in the Bible. When you think of everything we've seen about God, the creator, like all these things as he begins to reveal himself, verse 12 says, but to all who did, back farther than that. Sorry.
10, 11 or something.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much. But he actually says he came to his own.
And he didn't recognize
him. But his own did not recognize him. They didn't receive him. They rejected him.
So I try and this again, maybe isn't a great analogy, but I have friends that have parents that are going through Alzheimer's. I have a cousin who is quite a bit older than me, who is struggling with dementia, and she doesn't recognize people anymore, and how hurtful that is to those that love them. I know it's a little bit of a twist, but how sad that is, that we don't recognize his voice, that we don't know him.
And as sad as that verse is, though, like it's the next couple verses that to me are actually the should be the theme. Even though they did not, he still came and dwelt among us, full of graces and truth, so that whoever would believe. Like that's I think that's the beauty, is even as he was frustrated, and sometimes we might feel like that, because the truth is, I can even say, I know he's God, but yesterday, did I live like he was really God in my life? Right? Is that how he was living? Like, I know it. And I love how he words it. He said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we observed his glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And he goes on and contrast, and we're not able to get into this in the message this week because there's too much here, but he begins to contrast the law of Moses versus who Jesus is and how Jesus comes and is full of that grace and truth. And I think that's what we see revealed in his relationship with the disciples, and we should see revealed in his relationship with us. Mm-hmm. As we look at these things, and you might feel like, and maybe in some of these questions, and in Grow Group, this could happen too, where it's like, well, yeah, of course he's not living as God right now. Like, yes, now you just made me feel even guiltier that I'm not doing these things. And the point of these conversations should never be guilt, because Jesus did not come in a guilt-driven narrative. He did not come to bring condemnation. We're going to read about that in John chapter 3. He did not come to bring the shame, but to say, I come in grace and truth because I want you to experience, even though you don't deserve it, I offer my grace to you to experience the life you've never had. But you have to know the truth. You have to embrace that darkness has no place anymore. You have to embrace that I am God, that I am your creator, I am your authority, and that to experience this life, it's time to repent from darkness and to run to the light.
So if we are being like our Heavenly Father, if we're being like our brother Jesus, we walk with one another, extending grace and speaking truth to them.
I think that's a really beautiful application, because that's really, we need truth. Like, sometimes it can get so messy. The truth is just not the truth of who Jesus is. The truth is the truth of what he's asking of us.
And the truth of who we are without him.
Yes.
There's a lot of truth to be seen.
And those are hard conversations to have sometimes, but that's where we begin to experience life. If we want to experience the life that he's talking about in here, and experience the light that overcomes darkness in our life, we're going to have to get real enough with each other to say, in the grace and truth of Jesus. And this might be a good opportunity within Grow Groups to kind of hit that. If the Grow Group leaders, you're going to start training through the book side by side. And so if you're not Grow Group leader, sorry, you might wonder what that is. And you can ask us about it sometime. But that's one of the big pieces that we're going to talk about in the next couple of training sessions, is how to really bridge that gap in grace and truth, create a place for the grace of God to exist so that we can get honest enough about the truth that still has to exist. We can't function just in grace, but we can't function just in truth. We have to have grace and truth together. So if
it's like peanut butter and jelly, David.
That's for prayer and fasting. We have to use a different one for
okay,
this.
Okay, let's see.
But I think that's going to be an important piece. So at the end of all this discussion, if in Grow Groups, you can get to the place of saying, as we walk John and we start having, we're seeing who Jesus is. At the same time, when we really see who Jesus is, we're going to see yuck in ourselves. That's what the light does. It exposes what's in the darkness. To know that we want to keep walking in grace and truth, because Jesus, that's how Jesus came. As God as creator, he would have full right to say, you ridiculous creation, you have defamed me, you have rebelled against me, I created you with purpose, and you didn't even care, and you rejected me, and so let me come and just put an end. Like, he would be totally justified to do that. But instead, he came in a different way. And that's how we've got to come into each other in our own lives, in our own groups. And I think that's a beautiful takeaway. We should be asking the questions. Those two things, groups, is kind of, we get closer. I don't know how long we've been going.
Yeah, we've got to close. Okay. So this is great.
So two big things, ask who Jesus is and talk about, maybe there's ones that I've always known him as God, but I didn't realize
that he was my creator, right?
Or I've known he brought me life, but I didn't think about what that light was meant to do in my life. And discuss those pieces, but come back to it and with grace and truth, and set the tone. Maybe with that, as leaders, you can set the tone of that grace and truth narrative. Let's ask the real question though, where am I not living as God? Where am I maybe holding on to a little bit of darkness? How can we love each other, support each other, pray for each other? So as we go through the book of John, we can experience some incredible God, miraculous, even signs of transformation in our life because of who Jesus is.
Well, I hope you are seeing just from us talking how fun this is, and you might go off on a million different tangents within your girl group, but the bottom line is we want you to see Jesus, and we want seeing Jesus to affect your lives. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.